3, 2, 1.
Spencer Chase of the Woolsey Westington FFA chapter in South Dakota State University talking with Joe Tarillo, who is a speaker at the National FFA Convention. And Joe, something you share with audiences with an FFA background is that you never had an opportunity to be a part of the organization.
No, I didn't. You know, I came from kind of like a ghetto in Brooklyn, New York. And I think the first time I saw a cow, I was 22 years old. So, you know, the only thing we ever saw were dogs, rats, and cats.
Right. And saying top of your Christmas list is what?
Is that blue corduroy jacket that all those kids get to wear, you know, with so much honor. You know, I wish that I would have had an opportunity when I was their age to be a part of something, you know, that's, first of all, is so huge, but also a part of something that molds a young person into growing up and being, you know, successful and being respectful and really, more than anything, challenging yourself because of the training and the experiences you get with all the local FFA chapters.
And your career involves being a firefighter with the New York City Fire Department, which is a huge public service, and FFA also has a large service component as well.
Well, you know, I kind of draw that parallel, you know, about their uniform as opposed to mine. And although they don't have any medals, chest of medals, and that doesn't really, you know, dictate what a hero is. You know, people just seem to think that somebody with a uniform and a patch on their shoulder and a chest of medals makes them a hero. And that's not true. You know, I admonish all the kids, you know, to grow up and be my hero if they can be all that they can be.
And the message you share with audiences involves the rescue efforts that you took part in on 9/11 and being trapped in rubble not only once but twice. So my question is, why tell this story? What makes you want to get up, speak on stage to audiences, and really share your story?
I think it's important for kids to understand that through such atrocity and through such a horrendous event, that it is possible to get back up on your feet once again, whether you were injured physically or psychologically, emotionally, or a combination of all of it, that, you know, life has to go on for all of us. And it's the strength that you find inside of you that helps those kids build their character in life. And it's the character that you draw on later on when you're facing additional tough times, which we always all will.
And one of the more interesting parts that I felt of your message was a story you told about how an action figure came to life. Can you tell us how that came about?
Well, you know, as I said, I had been involved in co-creating the first Fire Safety Learning Center for Kids, got nominated for the Thea Award at the Emmys. We won that very prestigious award. As a matter of fact, we left Disney World jealous because they lost to us, and they actually tried to duplicate what we did down in Epcot Center. But shortly after that, I was contacted, you know, one morning by a company called Fisher-Price Toys. You know, they wanted to create this new little action figure, part of their Rescue Hero line, and they wanted him to be a New York City firefighter. They would call him Billy Blazes. And I didn't really think it was such a big deal, but, you know, they were going to give me $1 for everyone that was sold around the world. And that money would go into my education program, and I would buy smoke detectors with that money, give them out free to people that didn't have them, who would be willing to listen to me for an hour on how to prevent and survive a fire. And I just ironically chose the date of September 11, 2001, because it symbolized 911, which is the emergency phone number in New York City when you need help from a firefighter, police officer, or an EMT paramedic.
And on that day, you made the decision to go help your comrades on 9/11 instead of attending this press conference. And you told the audiences that that's really how it came to life.
That's really how it came to life. You know, I was actually en route to the press conference. I was about an eighth of a mile away from the Twin Towers as I was going over the Brooklyn Bridge from Brooklyn to Manhattan. And just before leaving my office, somebody said a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And I started rushing towards the press conference thinking that there would be so much traffic going into Manhattan with police cars, fire engines, and ambulances that I would get stuck in the traffic and not make the press conference. And my boss would kill me because this was a big day, you know. This was a huge partnership we had embarked on. And I really wasn't thinking that much about the World Trade Center until I was on the bridge and I looked up and I saw about 10 floors of fire around the North Tower. And then, of course, it was obvious this was no little plane. It had to be a commercial jet. And now, what do I do? I'm a firefighter. You know what I mean? I'm not a TV personality. I can't go to this press conference. Billy Blazes is going to have to wait. I got to get to my firehouse across the street where I started my career, and that's what I did.
And Joe, I understand you also have a connection with bringing those responsible for the September 11th attacks to justice?
Yeah, actually, you know, as one of the few credible survivors, although there's a lot of people who roam the country, touting themselves as a survivor, there was only a handful of us that actually survived with massive life-threatening injuries. And as an eyewitness to the attack, because I was under the second jet when it struck, the Justice Department, the FBI, asked me, would I be willing to help them at the pre-trial and the trial hearings in Guantanamo, Cuba? I was just sequestered there in June, and I'll be going back again next September 2014. I'll be put on the witness stand to give testimony as a credible survivor and an eyewitness. And then I'll go back a third time. The Justice Department's going to allow me to confront KSM, which is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Osama bin Laden's right-hand man, at his death sentencing.
And sharing this story with a variety of different audiences, what is it that makes speaking to an FFA audience different?
You know, I think what happens is the FFA obviously is comprised of young teenagers, adolescents. You know, they're not babies, they're not full adults yet, and they're going through a period of life which is the most difficult period for all human beings. You know, those years from 10 to 20 are the years where we change most as a human being in so many different ways. And with that comes a lot of fear and a lot of anxieties, you know, of who am I going to be? You know, am I going to be successful? You're going through physical changes, psychological changes, emotional changes. You know, you're cutting the umbilical cord for the last time. And kids need to know that it's okay, you know, with all the stress that comes along with it. You know, they can just take it easy day by day, and that there are people like me, like their parents, you know, like their teachers, that are there for them to inspire them and motivate them and to walk them through the later years of their life.
And Joe, just wrapping up here, you also tell the story of a connection an FFA chapter has with 9/11.
Right, you know, there's a chapter which I just became privy to in Queens, New York, one of the five parts of New York City, the John Bound chapter. They're here today, and during the rescue and recovery effort of the World Trade Center, the only thing that remained alive after we pulled out the few victims that were still breathing, people like me, there was a lone calorie pear tree that had been on the site for many years, and it was severely damaged, badly burned, and people gathered and says, hey, we need to save that tree. It's still alive. It's still sprouting branches, you know, and we got to try to save at least that tree if we're never going to find anything of anybody else. And they unrooted that calorie pear tree. They took it up into Bronx, New York, and with the help of the New York City Park Department, the Bartlett Tree Service, and then eventually with the John Bound chapter of Queens, New York, those young boys and girls in that FFA chapter actually cared, and they're growing 420 new seedlings of that tree, which will be given out to various groups and organizations around the United States that are going to be chosen by the committee of the National September 11th Museum.
And just certainly shows another a fairly simple way as well of the way an FFA chapter can reach through tragedy and have such an impact.
Yeah, you know, again, the moral of the story, you know, as I tell kids, life has a lot of funny twists and turns. And sometimes in life, you know, you're not really sure where it's going to take you, and it takes you down roads you weren't aware of. It takes you down roads that has its arms ready for you. And every challenge that comes your way is another opportunity to learn and grow. You know, whether it's as a firefighter, whether as it's a member of the FFA, or any other walk of life. And that's really what it's about, because we don't know if all these boys and girls eventually will go into any agriculturally based industry or company or corporation. Some of them may go off and become police officers and firefighters. But you know something? The training, you know, the foundation that they receive by being part of such a great organization will mold them to be more than anything they ever thought they could be.
Well, certainly a fascinating story, Joe. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's Joe Torillo, a keynote speaker at National FFA Convention. For FFA Today, I'm Spencer Chase.